who is bigger than all of us, if you can imagine that, is the General Baptist preacher. And we tease each other unmercifully. I don't know how you are in your family. I think my wife had a conniption when she came to our family because her family didn't tease each other. We are terrible to each other. But one day was all around and was talking about it, and I said, you know, Roger and Randall, who you all know, and I, and then my Southern Baptist, my brother who's a Southern Baptist minister, Ralph, I said, we'll get together to argue, but Russell, we're not going to let you argue with us. And why? We're afraid you'll get mad and lose your salvation. Oh, Ronnie. I'm thankful that he does not believe that. And I don't know, you know, how things work out that you go different places. If you go back in my heritage, a lot of our people were General Baptist. That. Enough foolishness. Brother Farmer, I don't know that Brother Sanford did you a favor or not. Brother Sanford went back there, and I think that he replaced a battery in Brother Farmer's hearing device. So I don't know if he did you a favor or not. We'll see after it's all over with, okay? I always enjoy being here. I always enjoy being here. I appreciate your pastor. He is a friend, as well as a brother in Christ, a man that I well respect. And so, and we pray for him. We pray for this church. I remember the year that I turned 16, and I got my driver's license. And as I was going through my driving, my mom was with me one time in the car, and we had a 58 Ford, three-speed on the column. And I was driving it, and we were getting ready to, and our street came up to Pendleton Pike in Indianapolis. As a matter of fact, we grew up only about three streets, I think, away from Brother Miller. Did not know him at that time, I think. Anyway, so I pulled up to Pendleton Pike, and I just had my driver's license just a little while, and I started to pull out on Pendleton Pike, and as soon as I did, my mom yelled at me. And when she did, it shook me up so bad, and I slammed on the brake, not the clutch. And, of course, killed those of you that know about driving straight shifts, which I'm sure that most of you here do because I can look at your age and tell. You know what happens when that does that? It just dies in that case. Well, we looked up, and here comes this car at us. And as that car came at us, he slowed down very quickly. And he got out of the car, and I figured I was going to be in trouble when he started walking toward me. He was going to come and fuss at me. What I didn't know, and it really bothered me, was when he reached in the back seat and pulled out his state trooper hat and put it on. And he proceeded to write me a ticket for reckless driving. I don't think I was reckless driving. I think he ought to have given it to my mom because she's the one that scared me. But anyway, that was the first and only time I ever stood before a judge. And any of you that have ever been in a courtroom, you know how that is the judge is way up here and the defendant is way down there and everybody else is. And I was intimidated. I was extremely intimidated because he could have done a lot of things to me because of that reckless driving ticket. Well, I want you to know that there's a judgment that is coming that is greater than any judgment here on this earth. We are enthralled by all the different things. It's been on TV and movies and everything, courtrooms. You know, remember Perry Mason, remember Ben Matlock, remember now Law and Order. I think it's the longest running TV show. It's outdone Gunsmoke. We've got Judge Judy, Judge Joe Brown, and everything else. Because it's something about the courtroom that causes us to be excited about it, or that draws our attention. And it's the authority, part of it is the authority of the judge. And part of it is what goes on in that courtroom, whether the defendant is going to be guilty or innocent. Or not guilty, I should say. Doesn't say innocent, not guilty. Recently, I was studying some in Zechariah, and I know that several years ago, I had the opportunity to teach here during the winter Bible study in the book of Zechariah, and I preached or taught on the church in the book of Zechariah. Someone else taught about Christ in the book of Zechariah. And in the book of Zechariah, it has more references to the coming Messiah and Christ himself than anywhere in the Bible, with the exception possibly of Isaiah or in the Old Testament. But as I began to read and study in the third chapter of it, I got a whole new picture of what was going on. And I want to try to deliver that picture that I got to you out of the third chapter of the book of Zechariah. It was something so thrilling, if you will. I think the Word of God ought to be thrilling for us. It shouldn't be just something that we read as we would read a novel or a matter of fact, most people, when they read a novel, they get into it and they can't put it down. But that's the way the book ought to be. Because it's God's love letter to us. And we want to read it and reread it and reread it. And it seems like every time we read it, we get something new out of it. Well, in the book of Zechariah, I'm going to read the words to you from the first, third chapter, the first verse through the seventh verse, and then we're going to look at something. And I want you to get a picture, not of just a courtroom, but I want you to get a picture of the Supreme Court of the universe. And this is what we're going to look at today, and we're going to see those people that are in a courtroom in this chapter and in these seven verses. We're going to see that, and I'm going to try tonight to give you the imagery of a courtroom from these verses, because that's exactly what it is. It is the Supreme Court of the universe. You know, Hebrews, in the ninth chapter, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat. Listen to this. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of garment, with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt take away my way, walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. As I looked at this, I got the imagery of a courtroom. And I think that I'm going to try to just tell you about that. And I want you to understand in this that Joshua, who first of all, Joshua is. Joshua was the high priest. And Joshua was a man that was over the priest of a nation that had fallen away. And he was a man that pretended to serve God in a nation that had fallen away. But I want you to know this today, that the imagery here and the type, if you will, the shadow of the things that are, is Joshua is all of us. Joshua is a man that stands before God with unclean garments. And I know that that's how we are. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are those people who have fallen short. If we read in Psalms, the 14th chapter, the 2nd and the 3rd verse, it says, "The Lord looked down upon from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." We know that Paul spoke and said, "For all have sinned, are sinners, and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We know that we live in that kind of a society. We live that is the product of the sin of Adam. And there's none of us that are righteous, no, not one. There's none of us that have actually hit the mark. We are all men and women that stand before God with filthy raiment on. We are all sinners. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind have taken us away." You know, we're sinners. There's no doubt about it. You know, no matter how good we try to live, we fall short of the mark that God has set for us, that is to live in His holiness. There's only one that has done that, and that is His Son that came here to this earth. It was from the time of Adam until the time of the last birth and death here on this earth until the Lord comes back, sinners. And I saw a bumper sticker once that says, "I'm just a sinner, saved by grace." And that's our only hope. We don't have any hope other than that. When we read about Joshua here, we see ourselves in that as standing before God. Now the judge is God Himself. And so we have the defendant, if you will, and we have the judge, if you will. And then we have the prosecutor. Those of you that like Law and Order like I do, we have the Jack McCoy of heaven. He's the prosecutor. He's the one that accuses the defendant of the sins or the crimes that he has done, or in this case, the sins that he has done. And that is Satan himself. And we know that that is the case. We know that Satan is the accuser. Revelations 12:10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night." In the book of Job, when the sons of God, the angels, were coming, were there in heaven, Satan was there. And I want you to know, if you want to know where Satan is right now, he's in heaven. Now, understand that. Not there. At least his spirit is there. And what's he doing? He's accusing. I said his spirit is there. He's accusing us. He's accusing us at that time. He's going to say, he's a sinner. Anytime one of us dies and our soul is taken to heaven, Satan is there saying, he's not worthy of entering into heaven. He's the prosecutor. He's the one that says, he's not worthy of the love that your son died on the cross for. Now you read that and you see this. You see you got the judge, and that's Joshua, that is God Himself. You see, you've got the defendant, and that's Joshua. You've got the prosecutor, and that is Satan himself. And the one thing that is absent in this case is the attorney for the defense. our advocate, and that is Christ. Now, I want you to know this. You'll see that in this, that he is there. But not everybody has the attorney for the defense when they get to heaven. Only those people that are saved. Satan is there accusing, but only those people who are saved are there with an attorney. And that attorney then speaks up. When Joshua was there, and as I'm saved, when I'm there, and Satan says, no, he is not worthy of it, then it says that the angel of the Lord, it says, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Jesus himself, the Christ, rebukes Satan and says, that's enough. No matter what you say, this is a brand plucked out of the fire. You know, in another place in Hebrews, it talks about the worm dieth not. And it talks about that, or a brand is that poker that you put in a fire. That's what that is. It's a poker, or that rake that you use to stir the fire with. And that rake sometimes, or that poker sometimes gets red hot, but it does not burn away. It says the worm dieth not in hell. And we have to understand that. The worm dieth not. And we have to understand that just as a poker, just as that brand that's plucked from the fire, that's the way we are. It talks about hell and where the worm dieth not. And we have to understand that that's what we're going to experience if we're not saved. But the Christ says, this is a brand plucked out of the fire. We're not going to be in the fire. When we're talking about being saved, that's what we're saved from. We're saved from two things. We're saved from an eternity without God and an eternity in torments. And we have to realize that. And that is what the judgment is all about. And so we are truly shown not guilty, not innocent, because we're not innocent. But we are shown not guilty because Christ says enough to the prosecutor. And he says that in such a way that Satan himself is rebuked. Now Joshua says he was clothed in filthy garments, but they put clean robes on him. You know, I knew a man once, and I would never have the courage to do this, I don't think. But he got up at a church and he came up and he said, don't I look good? He said, this suit cost $300. He said, doesn't this look really good? He said, it is wonderful to wear a suit like this that costs that much money. Then he took his coat off and his shirt was in rags. He said, these shoes, they cost, and he told an amount of money, and he took his shoes off, and there were holes in his socks. He said, sometimes when we're out in the world or when we're in church, we will cover up that which is really us. Well, some of us cover it. Some of us don't. But whether we do or not, it's still there. We're still sinners, saved by the grace of God. Satan accuses him, and the Christ says, that's enough. He rebukes him and says, just be quiet. This is a brand taken, plucked out of the fire. Take the filthy clothes off of him and put rich robes, put new garments on him. You know, garments white as snow. He will wash me and make me whiter than snow. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that even though my sins be as scarlet, even though they're filthy, and by the way, that filthy, I'm going to tell you what that means. That's the same word that is used for human excrement. That's pretty dirty. That's revolting. And that's what it is to God. Our sin is revolting. when we look at this passage of Scripture, not only does it say change him, change his clothes, and he is made new and clean, but it also says put a mitre on his head. That's a turban or a headdress, and it's referred to in Exodus that is put upon the priest. And in that headdress that is put on the priest, on the frontlet of that headdress is written these words, holy to the Lord. When a person is saved, when they have new garments put on them, when they have been, Satan is rebuked and said, and Christ said, this is a brand plucked out of the fire, then we are holy to the Lord. We just need to act like it. We need to act like it. So as we understand that and understand who we are, it should be exciting to us. We should live our life in such a way that when we look at and see in the Word of God what Christ did for us and the penalty that He paid in order that He could be the one to rebuke Satan, we should be so thankful, and we should walk every day and every moment of every day in accordance to His will, glorifying Him. We should sing songs that glorify Him. We should praise Him. Well, you know, it used to be in Baptist churches, and you know this, and I do too, that it was not uncommon to see the people shouting and raising their hands to the Lord and doing that. We don't see that much anymore. We're afraid that we're going to be right along with the Pentecostals, I guess. But we need to see what God does and exercise that. Holy to the Lord. When God changes us, when the judge himself says not guilty, when the defending lawyer, or if you will, the advocate that we have in Christ stands there and rebukes Satan, then we need to live for Him. Now, I want you to listen to the last two verses of that passage of Scripture that I read, 6 and 7. And it says, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua. Now, that word protested, that really doesn't mean to protest like we see out in New York City and other cities right now. What it means is he gives advice and he encourages. He says, you need to live this way. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shall thou also judge my house. One of these days, we're going to judge angels. Did you know that? One of these days, we're going to judge nations. Did you know that? One of these days, we're going to be right there. Because then it also says there, and shall keep my, and thou shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I'm going to be in heaven because I'm a brand plucked from the fire. And even though Satan is there accusing me, even though Satan is there to bring up every evil and every sinful act that I have ever done, even though I am guilty of every one of those things, they're all blotted out. And my sins are remembered no more. They are hid as far as the east is from the west, removed as far as the east is from the west. They are hid in the deepest of oceans. And they are remembered no more. Why? Because my advocate stood up for me. In our country, unlike a lot of other countries, in our country, no person is denied a defender when they go to court. They have an attorney. They have the ability to have an attorney. Even if they can't afford one, we'll pay for it. The tax dollars pay for it. Not everybody that goes to that judgment seat has an attorney. And when they don't have an attorney, Satan wins. Because there's no one to speak up for him. By the way, the fix is in, if you have one. You see, the judge, God the Father, and the defender, the Christ, the Son of God, are God. I and my Father are one. The fix is in. Told you the story about my ticket. I got that dismissed. My dad happened to know the judge. He probably shouldn't have done that, or someone there. And he told him about it, and they said, well, that officer was probably just overreacting. We'll give him another chance. The judge read me the riot act and scared me to death. But I got out of that. But that's nothing compared to what I'm going to get out of, because I've been a sinful man. From the time I was born to the day I die, I'm a sinful man. I'm a product of Adam. I'm sinful. But I'm also a brand plucked from the fire. And I thank God for that. When we do that, we're supposed to walk in His ways. Our iniquity is removed. We're supposed to walk holy to the Lord. We are supposed to judge others. In heaven, we'll have that opportunity. We're supposed to be the kind of people that God would have us to be. Because that gavel comes down and says, not guilty. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. May God bless you. May God bless you, Brother Miller, and this church. I appreciate each and every one of you. May God just use you to do His work, that you may glorify Him. Every song that we sing, every prayer that we pray, every time that we meet together should be to the glory and honor of God the Father, the Supreme Court of the Universe Judge. Amen.